That's my advice for players and coaches.
Find a way.
Create your own opportunities. Yeah. You know, find a way and create your own opportunities, no matter how long it takes.
They need to find somebody that's going to love them and take care of them and prepare them for the real world. Because this baseball thing ain't going to last forever.
And I think where JUCO becomes a fantastic option is if you don't fall in love.
I think it's really important that we link, as parents and coaches, we've linked identity with you know, who they really are, and leave baseball as the thing that they do.
Welcome back to the Are You in the Book podcast, where the journey is greater than the destination. Brought to you by the Baseball Blue Book. Are you in the book? And now, your host, Eric Wobinoff. Welcome back to the Are You in the Book podcast. My name is Eric Wobinaugh, the president of the Baseball Blue Book, and we are excited to have Coach Steve Murray with us from Neosho County Community College. Coach, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Couldn't be better. It's sunny out. We're not dealing with rain or cold, so we're good to go.
That's great. That's great. That's the way I look at it as well. As I get older, the weather determines a lot of my attitude going into the day.
Practice inside or practice outside determines our day, I promise.
That's great. That's great. Well, Coach Murray has been doing this for a long time. I was looking forward to having this conversation with him. We met on X, which is where I meet a lot of the coaches, just simply reaching out and saying, hey, would you like to be on the podcast? And Coach Murray was gracious enough to say yes, and I appreciate that. So we're going to go ahead and do the same thing that we've been doing for quite a while now, and it's really just getting to know you as a coach, your background, your journey. I know you've been with Neosho County for 38 years. It's kind of where you began and where you continue to be, which is a great testament to what you do and the success that you've seen. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, and let's begin with the journey, and then we'll cover the other important parts throughout the episode.
Perfect. Grew up in Grand Island, Nebraska, which is a town about 50,000, and baseball was my first love, but we won a state title in football and what have you. And after I got done playing at Grand Island, I was recruited into Kansas JUCO system by Cloud County Community College. Played well enough there that I ended up going to Fort Hays State University and finished up my career there. Realized that I still loved the game and didn't want to get out of it, and I was offered a chance to be a graduate assistant, and I did that for a couple years. And then I decided to apply for some jobs, and it was really weird how that happened. I was taking some grad classes, and in my mailbox, there was an application to Neosho County Community College. Now, I had been in that state and had never heard of that school. And so I looked at it, and they were 2-38 the year before. And I was like, oh my God, what am I getting into? But I applied anyway. And luckily enough, I got the job and had a, you know, they didn't know much about athletics here when I got here. We didn't even have a weight room. We didn't have a baseball field, blah, 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 blah. So we've kind of built it literally from scratch. And, you know, we've become successful. And truthfully, I think we just have the right recipe for a lot of kids at this point.
That's great. You know, getting into coaching is a couple, I hear a couple things. One, it's I don't want to get out of the game, and it's hard to leave once you get to that graduating level, and you're like, what do I do now? And then sometimes people just know that they want to be a coach. What was it for you? Was it just, or was it both? Was it one or the other?
You know, in all honesty, I just love the game. And I, you know, I'm not a dumb guy by any means. I was a 3-time academic All-American, but sports was completely embedded in me, and I wanted to make sure it was something in sports where I could make a difference. And, you know, my first taste of coaching at Fort Hays was a blast, and I loved interacting with the kids. I loved everything about it. And I just decided right then, rather than be a psychologist or something, I want to do coaching. And I should have known better. You know, that wasn't probably my smartest move I've ever made, because it's not going to pay what the others are going to pay. But the rewards are in a different way. And, you know, every day I go to work and it's not work. You know, it's fun. So I still love it to today.
You know, you said that you could have been a psychologist. Aren't you a psychologist as a coach? I mean, you're many things as a coach.
We are, and we just don't get paid like it, you know, which is fine. But yeah, there's a lot of psychology built in with working with athletes, no matter what level you're at, you know, and every athlete's different, you know, some need us more than others. So you're right, different hats. I've learned to do so many different things as a coach, and that's what I think I love about it. I go to work every day, and it's something different every day. It's never the same thing, even though it's practice, weights, game, whatever. It's still different. Nothing plays out the same way. So it's definitely not going to be Groundhog Day, the movie. You know, you're going to get something different every day.
That's awesome. You know, you also mentioned something as you were coming out of Fort Hays, not ever hearing about Neosho County. And I think that's one of the things, at least to my listeners, it's why I do what I do. There are over 700 community college baseball programs in the country. There's close to 1,700 baseball programs in collegiate sports. And it's not just the team that's down the road from you that has baseball. And so one of the things I always encourage and why I do this is to encourage to open up your eyes, start looking around and seeing what there is out there. There's some really, really good programs across the country. And the Baseball Blue Book has the directory for that. So, Coach, as the coach, 38 years, I love looking at the background. For those that are listening to this audio, behind Coach is a 2012-2013 back-to-back district champs. We've also had coaching victory of 1,100. Coach, you've done a lot. When you think back of your years as a coach, what are some of the things or a few of the things that actually stick out the most for you as far as what you would consider a success as a coach?
In all honesty, the biggest success, and this sounds cliche as heck, but when a kid calls me from 30 years ago, 35 years ago or whatever, just to ask advice or just to tell me how his kids are doing, that's pretty cool. We have what we call legacy kids where I coach the dad and the son, and I think we're on number 15 now. Hopefully I don't get to the grandkids, you know, on that legacy, but that kind of stuff is cool. And, you know, I mean, if you look at like X right now and you look at followers and that, they follow you. They don't know you, but they actually want to kind of know what you're doing. That's kind of cool that people care enough to do that. And, you know, most people would tell you wins and losses and trophies and championships and all that. That's so secondary to me to having the relationships that I built with other coaches and the kids along the way.
That's great. You know, you bring up people following you on different social platforms and to kind of get to know you. One of the things I got to know when I followed you is your interesting take on snacks. I think it was the jalapeno with peanut butter. Is that what it is, Coach?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, dude, you gotta come up with new stuff. When you're as old as I am, you get tired of the same stuff. And about 15 years ago, somebody said, why don't you rub peanut butter on a raw jalapeno? So I did it. And, you know, I added bacon to it one time. And I'm just telling you, once you try it, you'll never go back to another thing.
I love it. My wife is a big gardener. We're already planning our garden for this year. And jalapenos is top of the list. I'm a huge fan. So this is going to add to my snack options for the summer. So I appreciate that. So Coach, what makes your college program stand out from others, and why should players and parents consider joining your team?
Well, in all honesty, we've had great success, but the reason we have success is because we get max buy-in. If you go by our program and compare it to a lot of other programs, we will start the fall with 32 kids. That's it. We don't have open tryouts. We don't have blah, blah, blah. We're going to start with 32. All right. So I can look you in the eye as a dad and tell you your son's going to get a chance. You've heard the horror stories. There's schools that start with 80 and schools that start with over 100. That's just not what we're about. And so we're going to recruit to our needs. So, you know, immediately you're going to get the opportunity. The second thing is you get a chance to prove yourself the entire time you're in the program. Don't care if you're the first pitcher, the third pitcher, or the 11th pitcher. You're going to get the same opportunities in scrimmages and what have you. So there's no predetermined stuff. You have to prove yourself every day. We grade batting practice to grade every bullpen, blah, blah, so that every kid understands today wasn't as good as last time or what have you. But we're also extremely honest. We're not going to tell you all the good things about you without mixing in what you need to work on to move to the very next level. So max buy-in by our kids. We want kids that want to be here. They didn't settle for here. And we work on the total person concept in this program, meaning we're trying to make you a better human being. We do so much community service, so it's not just baseball. We got to do academics. We got to do the community service. And so we want really good people in this program also.
That's great. You know, one of the questions that I always ask is what role does a community involvement play with your program? And you're talking about going out and doing community service. Talk a little bit about what you guys do in the local community.
Well, we'll do a ton of different things that we're asked, but some of our standard things that we do year in and year out, in the fall, we actually put on a rodeo. So our rodeo people here in Chanute, they just don't have enough help, right? And some of the people are older, and so they need a lot of help. So we'll bring all 32 dudes on a Friday and a Saturday night, and they'll do everything from take tickets, park your car, to chase the bulls out of the arena or the sheep out of the arena on the mutton busting. And some of our big town kids, they never touched an animal, let alone chased it out and grabbed it. And they have a great time Friday night and Saturday night. And the people are very appreciative of that. We also do around 9/11 is National Friendship Day. And so we pair up with a local flower company here in Chanute, and we get a flower for every resident and every senior citizen living center in the entire town, which is a ton. You know, you're looking at 600 or so flowers. Our goal is to take a flower one-on-one to that resident and then have a five-minute conversation with each resident. And it Wow. literally makes their day, their month, their week, whatever it is. And it makes our kids understand that there's a whole new life once you're done with sports. And so they love that too. We also do... we just got done last week doing Operation Soup Line. So there's a poorer section in Chanute that can't afford electricity bills and what have you. And so they sell chili pie and a drink for like $5. And so our kids will go help the community and make the chili and, you know, deliver those meals and what have you. And those are kind of some of the standard things that we do. And, you know, we also move people from house to house, or you have a fire and they need something cleaned or whatever. And so we try to do, you know, once every 2 weeks, we try to get our kids out there for a few hours into the community. And I think we do a pretty good job of that.
That's fantastic, Coach. I appreciate you sharing that with us. You know, one of the things that parents and players have to really consider is what happens from kind of the holistic approach and view of what the program actually provides. So having those things is really important. Can you share some success stories from former players? Obviously being a junior college, community college, it's really a stepping stone or a launching pad to that next level. But if you can share some success stories that allowed players to go through your program and achieve things either on or off the field.
Sure. And I'll try to stay on because that's what most of your listeners want to know. But, you know, in the 37 previous years, we've sent over 600 kids to the next level. Over 300 of those have been at the Division I level, which obviously is the highest level you can go. 60 of those have been drafted or signed. Out of those, four of them have made it to the big leagues. Currently, we still have two in the big leagues three in the big leagues right now. You know, those kind of successes, I still talk to those kids almost on a daily basis during their season. And you know, it's a good time. You know, they still come back and visit. They do a question answer period with our kids. And, you know, it's really cool for them to be the kind of kid that we had hoped we would produce. You know, they're still signing autographs and things like that. Those are things we talk about at this level that, hey, even if you do make it big, don't ever become too big for the program. You know, represent yourself, represent your family, the school, and do it the right way. And, you know, like right now we have Matt Strom, who's with the Phillies, did an excellent job in the playoffs last year. And, you know, he's making whatever it is, $7.5 million a year. We've got David Bote with the Chicago Cubs and Jonah Bride, who just got traded from the Oakland A's to the Miami Marlins. And so they're all still in the big leagues and still going at it every day. And it's just neat to see what they're doing with their lives and to see that when they come back and visit, how little they've actually changed, even though, you know, Matt's a multimillionaire now, right? He doesn't act like it. He's still just a dude that comes in the office and shoots the breeze. And he's just as down to earth as he was back then. He doesn't try to big time you. I'll text him after a game and he'll reply before he goes to bed. And it's kind of neat to have kids that, you know, they're still doing it the right way.
That's great. You're always coach, right? Years later, you're still just coach. And that's a great testament of how you are developing character. As a junior college and community college, what are some of the resources and support systems that your program provides that would be equivalent to the bigger schools? Because that's really important now, I guess, with parents and players, right, as they look. What are the training components? What field, you know, what are the fields? Talk a bit about what your program has to offer.
Well, unfortunately, baseball's become, let's stay up with the Joneses. And so people buy stuff that, you know, they probably don't need. We could talk analytics forever, and I like analytics, don't get me wrong. But if you have a Rapsodo, which we do, if you have a HitTrax, which we do, just knowing those analytics is not going to make you a better player. It's actually just a gauge. It's not going to teach you anything other than, hey, you suck compared to Dirty Johnny, you know, or you're better than Dirty Johnny. But it is things that kids want to know. So we have those two things. We have a turf field, which most everybody has now, but this is our second turf field. So our first one was 14 years ago before most people had it. We were one of the first JUCOs in the entire country to get it. And I'd love to tell you our school paid for that, you know, but our school didn't give us one penny. Our kids raised every single dollar for a $403,000 turf infield. And so we paid it off over 10 years and it wore out in about year 12. And then the school bought us brand new turf. And so we've got brand new turf out there right now and it's gorgeous. The school bought us a locker room right off of their dugout, which is utterly amazing. We've got $20,000 worth of heaters in the dugout that are up in the ceiling. You know, our locker room is a spacious place that we have two huge TVs on each end with, you know, Apple TV connected and PlayStation 4s and what have you. So we've got all the comforts at home. We have a brand new indoor that we didn't used to have. We used to beat it up in the back of a gym at 1 o'clock in the morning because basketball games ran till 11 at night and then the girls would go before us. So our facilities are wonderful. Our equipment that we have is wonderful, but that wasn't how it all used to be. And now we've come, you know, full circle and we've got some of the luxuries that I think other people would love to have. But we're spoiled, but we kind of earn those spoils, if you ask me.
I think that's great. You know, there's one thing, there's a competitive edge until everybody has it. And one of the things that you found in baseball is everybody's moving to that direction, right? And I've always said that all the analytics is just validation of what the coach already knows.
That's fact. But you got to prove it to him and prove it to the kid. And it's kind of crazy because, you know, we brought it up the other day. If we have to go inside and scrimmage, we can go live. So it's a nice, big, spacious area. But when we scrimmage, let's be honest, you don't know where that ball goes, right? So the hitter's thinking he just hit a 3-run homer. The pitcher's thinking he just popped you up to left field. And the coaches are looking at each other going, dude, we don't know. You know what I mean? Well, HitTrax will now afford you to know where it's going. And so things like that are kind of cool. But you're right. Baseball has so many items that some of them are great. Some of them aren't so great. But if you don't have them, someone down the road does have them and we'll use it against you later on.
That's great. You know, there's the facts are that most kids are not going to make it to that next level. And one of the things I think is most important is knowing that the college program that these kids are coming to have the tools and the resources to prepare them. So what is your college baseball program? How does it prepare student athletes for life beyond the game?
Well, our philosophy here is really simple. We want to make you a better baseball player. We want to make you a better student, and we want to make you a better human being. If we do those three things in your 2 years that you're here, we're going to win, okay? But you're going to become a better father, husband, son, all those things which are extremely important. Let's be honest. If we can create good human beings, we've done our job. I don't care if I win a game. You know, I've won over 1,000 games, right? But to see one of my players have a child and bring that child to show me and tell me how he's raising it, and it was something that clicked to him in our program, is beyond awesome. It's beyond awesome. And that is way more important than winning game after game after game. You know, when we go to meet our maker, he isn't going to say, "Hey coach, how many games did you win?" That's, he's never going to ask that. Right.
Right.
But knowing that we're creating great human beings is pretty neat.
You've been doing this for a long time. What have you seen change? What's changed the most from your perspective of the players that are coming into the program now versus maybe 20 years ago?
What people allow. I mean, I hate to say that. People want to say blame the kids and say they've gotten soft, right? Not going to say kids are as tough today as they were, but that's because of our society. I mean, our society isn't like it is. You know, you and I would never have downsized a police officer when we were young. And now that's commonplace. We would never have downsized a coach or a teacher or anybody like that. And now that's commonplace because our society allows it. We don't allow it in this program. All right. So if you as a parent or you as a coach stops allowing that stuff, I don't think anything's changed. You know, so it kind of comes down to, what are your beliefs? What are you going to enforce? And let's roll from there.
I couldn't have said that any better. That was great, coach. I really appreciate that. I mean, kids are kids. they need instruction, and they need discipline, and they need a direction.
They want that. Exactly. I mean, they want direction. I'm sorry. We check in before we go to every single class all year long. If you miss one of those, you have a tire flip triangle. That wasn't assigned by me. That was earned by you, and our kids understand that. So if you hold a kid responsible, dude, they'll do it just fine. Yep. You know, but you got to hold them responsible. Can't look the other way and expect it to happen.
Yeah. Lazy leadership is what I say. Yep. It's the
easy
way
out. They want to be in these parents. They want to be their friend. You know what right. I mean? Hey, you can be their friend, but you still got to be their mentor. You know, you still got to take care of the discipline. That's how you and I were raised, and that's how kids today need to be raised.
Yep.
You know?
I've never learned anything when somebody told me that I'm doing everything right.
Yeah. But you also got to give them a little love, you know, and there's a lot of love along the way. But we have what we call tough love. You know what I mean? You got to earn that too.
Yep, that's true. That's true. So you talked about only having 32 on the roster to start, and that gives them the opportunity, the players, the opportunity to really earn kind of where they're going to be, and not worried about being cut. You recruit to need. Talk about that approach. Where do you go? Where do you find your kids? How can they find you? How do they reach out to you? Talk a bit about kind of that initial, you know, first step in becoming a Neosho County Community College baseball player.
Okay. Obviously we're on every kind of social media there is. Our recruiter, Mike Gilner, has been with us for 10 years, does a great job recruiting. We do the PBRs. We do all that kind of stuff to go scout those kids. But we get, I'm going to say 50 emails a day, and 49 of them probably aren't worth, you know, the typing that was done to him, but he'll look into each one of those kids, and word of mouth is another big way to do it. Then we've just got to find the kids that actually fit. And by fit, you know, we really don't want the stepping stone kids after 1 year. You know, they think down on a junior college and they're only going there for 1 year to get out. You know, we don't really want those. They happen occasionally, but we're looking for the kid that wants to buy into the program, wants to buy into the philosophies that we have, the kid that's going to develop as a baseball player, as a student, and as a, you know, a total human being. And then they move on. We want kids with big goals. Every kid that comes in here wants to be a Division I kid, wants to be a professional ball player. Not always possible, as you know. But you know what? We're going to give you the vehicle to try to attempt to do that. We're going to give you all the coaching we can. We're going to give you the facilities. We're going to give you the know-how. Now your talent has to speak, right? Kids are not realists when they're in high school. Everybody thinks they're going to be the next Mike Trout or Ken Griffey Jr. They learn that very quickly when they come into a program like this, that there is some serious competition at every position, even with only 32. Because in a perfect world, you'd have two third basemen, two shortstops, two second basemen, first basemen, so on and so forth, and then multiple pitchers. So a freshman and a sophomore at each one, and you've got to be the best player. And as we tell our kids, you're only as good as your last performance. So, you know, what you did last year doesn't mean a whole lot to us this year. You got to earn it every single day. And, you know, it's been a great ride in that regard because parents actually understand that. And so if they want their kid involved and they bring him here on a recruiting visit, we usually get the kids that we bring in because I like to say this, most coaches are car salesmen. And we're not really selling cars. I mean, I'm going to tell you the truth. You might not like it, but it's going to be the truth. And sometimes it's a hard truth. But, you know, it's something that you need to understand to get better in life.
I think that's great. Lastly, Coach, what bit of advice would you give to the parents and players as they're going into this recruiting process, either for your program? But in more in general, I mean, you've been doing this for a long time. I would consider you an expert at this. You've seen a lot of kids. You've seen the right way to do it. You've seen the wrong way to do it. So what would be your advice for these parents and players that are kind of going this path?
Find somewhere that you fit. Meaning, do you look and act like the other players that are already in that program? Do you like the coaches that you're involved with? Because at a junior college, dude, it's 24/7 deal. You got to be able to trust them. We always tell people we're your second parents, you know. So if you walk out of my office and say, I don't really like that short, fat, bald dude, it's going to be a rough 2 years for you because we're going to have a lot, you know, together. But if you walk out of here and you feel comfortable with how I'm going to treat your son or how as a player, how I'm going to treat you, it's probably a good fit. You know, I think too many kids go for the big name, meaning, I don't know, let's just say Vanderbilt. They're going to take you as a walk-on. And that sounds really good at your high school seminar that you're going to Vanderbilt. But are you ever going to play there? Because let's be honest, every coach's goal is to recruit over the top of what he has right now every single year. And you weren't good enough to play as a freshman. You're certainly not going to be good enough as a sophomore. And if I've recruited over you twice already, you're not playing as a junior either, right? So don't sign where it sounds the best at that seminar. Let's look at our ultimate dreams and see if that program, whether it's Neosho County or somewhere else, can help you get to that level.
That is great advice, Coach. Really, really good. I appreciate that that insight to what you just said. You know, the other thing that I always say is players, parents, have you gone and watched a college baseball game? Most will say no. I mean, I don't care what level you're at. This is the top. This is the cream of the crop. I don't care what program you do. I don't care if it's community college. I don't care if it's a D1 program. This is the top players in baseball at the amateur level.
Yeah. And here's what's amazing to me, and people don't understand this. You'll call and they'll say, my son hit 415. That means, in their opinion, that he can play anywhere in the country. Do you know how non-valid 415 is to a coach? Because we have zero idea what pitchers you're facing. And it's the same thing in football. He threw for 4,000 yards against what competition? So the only competition that you can gauge that in is track and field. If you run a 10-600, you run a 10-600. But other than that, baseball stats don't mean anything if you don't know what the competition was they were going against. And I think parents need to kind of do what you just said. Get out and see a game. You know, go out and see a different level, and you'll go, uh-oh, this is a little better than I thought it was, you know? So I think there's a lot of surprises when it comes to that.
That's great. That's great. Well, Coach, we just spent a good time with Coach Murray at Neosho County Community College. Coach, I really appreciate you joining the Are You in the Book podcast. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Hey, I appreciate you having me.